Imagine places so colorful they defy description, colors so extraordinary they defy naming, writers so persistent they try anyway. Color, landscape, and light are central themes for a growing number of writers in the American West, including Ellen Malloy, whose latest book is called The Anthropology of Turquoise. Malloy writes from a sense of place and self and a fascination with that greenish-bluish color and rock.
Since the earliest I can remember, my response to the world, especially the natural world, has been through light and color. I wondered if humans were wired to respond to certain landscapes. I found that cultures, both ancient through modern, especially the southwestern cultures where I live, had a particular response to turquoise, many associations that had to do with serenity or solace. It is a gem associated with vision. It was said to soothe the eyes. It was the gem of the nomad, portable and protective. Nomads can't carry a lot of things, but when they carried turquoise, they felt the wealth of color. In many southwestern cultures, it is a guardian of springs. The Egyptians wore it to the afterlife. And until the 13th century, the Chinese felt it was an unfit jewel for women. The Persian used it for health and mental vigor, and they wore it into battle as protection, sort of the equivalent of a bulletproof vest. It is often found in, usually found in dry places, the Sinai Peninsula, northwestern Iran, parts of Afghanistan. And this intrigued me because I am a desert dweller, creature of place, and I felt that the world sort of shrank by virtue of a common affinity to this stone.
You have a family story about color, about an attempt to right a wrong from your childhood. Your father's refusal to allow the family to stay in motels with swimming pools when you went on family trips. And so you tell the story about driving across the Mojave Desert from California to Utah, seeking out what you refer to as cool polygons of turquoise.
Well, this chapter is called Swimming the Mojave, was sort of a belated vindictive tour, lightly said, of course. When my brothers and I were young, we did several road trips with the family, and it seemed that my father, who was raised in the Depression, did not want to stay at motels with swimming pools. There was a very good reason for this, which I don't want to give away, a very serious reason. But at the time, all a child can think of at the end of a hard day in the station wagon is a swimming pool, and he would not stay at a motel with a swimming pool. So many years later, I decided I would stay at motels with swimming pools. So there is this fairly hilarious chapter in which I do a road trip from Los Angeles to Utah, stopping at motels with pools.
Which almost gets you arrested.
It does. In this particular excerpt, I am walking in a Southern California suburb to see the house where my aunt and uncle once lived. Along the streets, tall canopies of trees filtered the midday light into the eerie brightness of shredding ozone. Eucalyptus, magnolia, mimosa, jacaranda, orange and lemon trees, squat palms, skinny palms, hedges of carragana and oleander. The wall of vegetation and elaborate security systems shielded backyard swimming pools. The houses were grand, but at this hour of the day, empty of life. Two Mexican gardeners and I provided diversity. As I walked, a police cruiser pulled up beside me. A young, well-groomed officer in the passenger seat rolled down his window and asked, "Are you going somewhere special?" I was, in my life, nel mezzo del cammin, a middle-aged woman who had, sometime in the past 24 hours, combed her hair. I never carried a purse. The sole weapon in my pocket was a pen. As far as I knew, I was wearing underwear. I was not a derelict. I was an Episcopalian. But I was neither Asian American nor an employee of a landscaping service. I was out of place in this Asian American suburb in Southern California. "Where's your vehicle?" he snapped. "I parked it at the Huntington Library," I answered. "That's a mile away. How did you get here?" "I walked." "You walked?" "I walked." Walking, propulsion by biology, essential engagement with terrain, weather, one's own thoughts. I wondered if posh suburbs like San Marino had jails.
you write about more than turquoise. There's the lush colors of the tropics, the flowers, the fish, the coral reefs, and even the walls and doors of people's homes. And you also find similarly lush colors in the desert Southwest, a place that many people really think of as being desolate, lifeless, and colorless.
Well, it is indeed a very harsh place. The landscape is stripped down to bare red bones. The rock is not lushly covered with greenery. In fact, green is quite infrequent. And the colors, to me, seem to be the only colors in the world, a place where I feel comfortable, a sort of a bone-deep, fierce attachment to this desert. I sometimes can't tell where my body stops and the desert begins. Let me just read a very short piece to explain that. I am not that presumptuous to think that I could speak or paint or write the natural history of my home colors. I know only that they are to blame for intent and motion, for an asymmetrical journey of wonder and of trouble. Light can run a person's time and moods. It can explain everything. There is more to this bond than a cosmic flakiness, the experts say. The draw to certain kinds of landscapes is also biological. Ecologist Edward O. Wilson writes, "People do not merely select roles suited to their native talents and personalities. They also gravitate to environments that reward their hereditary inclinations." Neurobiologists suggest that a keen human sensitivity to color begins when we are infants. An aesthetic sense, an intuitive link between a chromatic band and emotion, can then grow as strong as a fingerprint, defying logic, inviting the helpless surrender of a love affair. Intoxication with color may express itself as a profound attachment to landscape. It has been rightly said, color is the first principle of place.
Ellen, thank you.
Thank you.
Ellen Malloy is the author of The Anthropology of Turquoise, Meditations on Landscape, Art, and Spirit.